We are glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
What the season's all about. For retailers, profit is the reason for the season. And for family and community advocates, tradition is the reason for the season. And of course, the church declares loudly and often that Jesus is the reason for the season. But last week, we kind of sided with the kids. Because the kids believe, and I think rightly so, that gifts are the reason for the season. Now, I know some of you don't want to judge me for that, but make sure you've listened to last week's sermon before you do. So that's kind of where we're at. Let me read you a little passage about, last week we talked about what a gift really is. We're going to go a little deeper with this week. Luke, the second chapter, verse 8. And there were in the same country, abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night, shepherds, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest. Everybody say, Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Thank you. The birth of Christ established a custom that lives on in the Christmas celebration even to this day, and that's the giving of gifts. Most often we trace this custom back to the three wise men who brought gifts to the Christ child as an act of worship. But the gift giving started even before that. The angelic oracle declared that this incarnation, this coming of deity in an infant body, would bring peace on earth. The gift giving was started when God gave his only begotten Son, who brought peace to the earth. It was continued with the giving of miracles. Then his life-cleansing blood was given as an atonement for the sins of the whole world. As if that supreme sacrifice were not enough, God then fulfilled the promise of the prophet by pouring out of his Spirit upon all flesh. God, in all of this giving, established himself as the great giver of gifts. And our gift exchange every year should not be so much the selfish acquisition of material goods, where we're just hoping to get the latest gadget and now we've got an excuse to go out and buy it, but it should be an emulation of our Father's overwhelming generosity and kindness to us. One of the key verses of the Christmas season speaks directly to the giving nature of God. Isaiah 9:6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. You got to understand that this is a gift from God to humanity. And it's an astounding gift. And the giving of that gift is what set in motion the redemption of mankind and the very season we are celebrating. The larger thing I want you to see right now is that God is the great giver of gifts. John 3:16, the encapsulating verse of Christianity is, For God so loved the world that he... And he gave his only begotten Son. That encapsulates all that is God. He is the great giver of gifts in every sense of the word. God is the giver of life, and he's the giver of breath, and he's the giver of all things. And the Bible clearly states, first of all, before you can give something, like we preached last week, you have to really own it, right? Well, the Bible says in Psalm 50:12, for the world belongs to God, and the fullness, everything that's in it, God has it all. And here's the amazing thing. None of us have ever received a rent check bill from him, or a bill for breathing his air, or drinking his water, or his peace, or his spirit, or his food. He just gives us all that he has out of an overwhelming generosity. I'll take it a step further. God gives all the same stuff to people that curse him and people that don't worship him and people that worship other gods. God is so generous, he gives them his air and his life and his breath and his water and his land. He just gives it all because he's the great giver. The Bible overflows with the gifts of God toward humanity. Can I preach a little bit today? I'm feeling my flow just a little bit here. Job 35:10 says God gives us, you got to watch this here, this is cool. He gives us songs in the night. Now, for some of you who's never been through anything in life, that may not mean anything. But anybody in here ever walk through a dark night of the soul when you're just not sure what life is about? Don't look at me like that. You're not sure why you're going to get up in the morning. And then for a God to come along and say, I know it's dark where you are right now, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a melody of joy in the darkness of your night. That's a gift right there. Give us a song in the night. Psalm 68:35, God gives us strength and power. In other words, the very ability to navigate this life comes from God. Ecclesiastes 2:26, he gives us wisdom and knowledge and joy. Isaiah 42:5, the Bible says God gives us breath and spirit. Your ability to do this right here. You didn't go out and earn that. You didn't work really hard and build up enough bonus points on your American Express to buy that. God in his generosity said, I'll just give you a breath and I'll give you a spirit. Jeremiah 5:24, God gives us the rain that falls out of heaven. You don't think that's inconsequential? You think that's inconsequential? God gives the very life-giving rain that brings life to this planet. It comes from his generosity. 1 Corinthians 3:7, God gives us increase. Increase to what? Well, the Bible doesn't specify. Increase to your joy and to your peace, and increase to your influence, and increase to your insight, and increase to your life, and to everything that matters to us. 1 Corinthians 15:7, here you go. God gives us victory. How many could use a little bit of that in your life? God gives you the overcoming ability to triumph in life. Let me say this. Every great inspirational story you've ever heard in your life of anybody that overcame overwhelming adversity and really survived and triumphed over that thing, that ability to be victorious came from God, whether they acknowledge it or not. God gives us our victories in life. 1 Timothy 6:17, he gives us all things to enjoy. Hey, sometimes we miss so much that God gives us. I found a new little restaurant I like to eat at. They have amazing tacos. I'm not going to tell you where it is, because then you'll go find me there and want to talk to me about stuff while I'm trying to enjoy my taco. But after church day, I promised my oldest son here, he really helped his mom out yesterday. I said, I tell you what, son, because you did so good, me and you going to slip away to my new little haunt, and we're going to get some fancy tacos. And you know something? I want you to be aware of something, Nick. When we sit down in there, when we're laughing and we're eating good tacos, you know where that came from? God gives us all things to enjoy. And if you enjoy 5 minutes with a friend, and if you enjoy a book, and if you enjoy time with your family, and if whatever you enjoy in life, do you know where that came from? God gives us richly all things that we enjoy. It's Psalm 77. Well, let me back up. James 1:5, he gives us wisdom. James 4:6, he gives us grace. Somebody say thank God for that. Psalm 77:1, this will boggle your mind. God, the creator of all things, who sits high above the circumference of the earth, who inhabits all that we know and contains within himself all that we don't. That God, the Bible says, gives ear to us. There are days I can't get the stupid barista at Starbucks to listen to me long enough to get my order right. But God get this? The creator of all things. Deep, who orders the constellations and tells them where they're going to hang and where they're going to move. We'll give ear to you. We'll listen to you. John 1:12, my favorite verses in the Bible, says he gives us the power to become the sons of God. You do not have to remain as you are. You do not have to be what other people said you are. You are not the victim. You are not the helpless victim of your circumstances and of your environment or anything else. God gave you the power to become the sons of God. There is no limit to what you can become, and it comes from him. Galatians 1:4, he gave himself for our sins. Galatians 2:20, he gave himself for us. Deuteronomy 8:18, he gives us the power to get wealth. Job 36:31, gives us meat in abundance. Psalm 147:16, gives us snow like wool. Pastor, that, who cares about snow? If it stopped today, you'd care about it this time next year. But God, who likes us, loves us, and is concerned for us, ordered the planet to work as it does, and he gave it to us as a gift. Isaiah 40:29, he gave power to the faint, to them that have no might. God increases their strength. And if in this Christmas season you feel helpless and hopeless, there's a God that will give you strength and ability and power. Isaiah 44:3 pours out water on the thirsty and floods the dry ground. In other words, he gives us what we need the most at the time we need it the most. Joel 22:29, he pours out his spirit. Malachi 3:10, if we'll bring our tithes into him, he'll pour out blessings we can't contain. 2 Peter 2:3 kind of wraps it all up and says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. He is the great giver. Anybody feel grateful in this house today? Why don't you stretch your hands toward heaven? Let's just take a moment in the middle of this sermon to thank God. You have been gracious and good to us. Surely our cups run over with your blessings. Surely every day of our life is loaded with your blessing and your benefits. You have been good to us, God. You're the great giver of gifts. You've blessed us. God is the great giver of gifts, and our world and our lives are overrun with his generosity. This season is about, it's not about you getting the newest, latest, and greatest iPad or iPhone or whatever it is you're after. It is about the outrageous generosity of an outrageously loving God. The Bible says in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from where? From above, and cometh down from the Father of lights. The incarnation, I want you to get this, the incarnation opened a floodgate of gifts to men. Packaged in the destiny of the Messiah was that he was to be a conduit by which the blessings of heaven could flow to men. I want you to get this. Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. They come and they announce the incarnation, and then they say, you got to understand, with this comes peace and goodwill toward men. It's heaven opening up a floodgate. Psalm 68 encapsulates so well what I'm trying to tell you. Psalm 68:18 is prophetic about the Messiah, and it says, you ascended on high, you led captivity captives, you received gifts for men. And then Ephesians 4:8 references this passage and says, not only did he receive the gifts for men, but that he gave them to us. Blessed be the Lord, it says, who daily loadeth us with benefits. Verse 18 says, he comes to dwell among us and daily loads us. That's, get that, the incarnation. He comes to dwell among us. And then the next verse says, he daily loads us with benefits. He came to walk among us so that he could open a floodgate of gifts to us. The incarnation was a pipeline opening, allowing heaven to send a daily deluge of blessings to men. No wonder the angel was instructed to announce his arrival by saying, peace on earth and goodwill toward men. That's what the incarnation means. This is the significance of the arrival of Jesus Christ on this planet. Peace on earth, goodwill on earth, atonement on earth, forgiveness on earth, redemption on earth, freedom from the curse of sin on earth, joy on earth. It's the opening of floodgate to us. A little baby laying in a feed trough behind an overcrowded inn was an open conduit to pour all of heaven's riches and blessings out on the earth. The Bible uses the word to describe Christ, the mediator. It's a legal term. It means a go-between. Heaven wanted to get its peace to earth, but it needed a conduit. It needed a mediator. 1 Timothy 2:5 says there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There was this breakdown of communication that happened a long time ago back in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned, and there was this impasse between earth and heaven. Before that, the Bible says God came down in the cool of every day and walked with them. Are you guys all right? Walked with them and talked with them, and there was this flow back and forth. But then sin enters, and that flow is cut off. And just as two warring factions can't sit down at a table and hammer out an agreement without a mediator, we needed a mediator between earth and heaven to hammer out this impasse that we were at. And so Christ came, the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. I know we're getting a little doctrinal here today, but that's okay. You can handle it. The man Christ Jesus comes as a mediator between earth and heaven. And when the mediator came, the conduit opened and peace and blessings started to flow from heaven down to earth. Jesus said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you." You know what he's saying? He's saying, what I'm giving you, I had to bring down here with me. You can't get this down here. I brought this from another place, and I brought it from another time, and you cannot find it anywhere but through me. Paul wrote to the Christians in Rome and taught this same principle. Romans 5:1, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How? Watch this. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access. Everybody say access. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. What Paul is saying is he opened up a conduit where we can access the grace and we can access the hope. And there's this mediator now. There's this conduit. The great giver of gifts looked around. I wish I could preach this as clear as I see it in my head. The great giver of gifts looked around at heaven. He looked around at a paradise overflowing with riches and mercy and goodness and peace and joy. And he said, I want all of this down there where it's so broken and so fearful and so bound. And all I need is a conduit. I need a mediator. And so Jesus Christ came in the fullness of time. Well, all of that is wonderful. That's really not even the central truth I want to convey to you. Nor was it the singular truth the angelic emissary was declaring to the shepherds on that Judean hillside. Since we are of earth, we tend to think it's all about us. When I say gifts are the reason for the season, you think, well, it's all the gifts I'm going to get. If gifts are the reason of the season, we think then it's about all we're going to receive. Yes, he came to bring peace to us. He came to bring redemption to us. But let me point out just a few things before I'm done with this simple little sermon. The first of all is this. Again, 1 Timothy 2:5 says Christ is our mediator, but the mediator between God and man. The key word here is between. There are two parties involved. Galatians 3:20 says a mediator is not a mediator of one. You need a mediator when there are two parties involved in the issue. When both have a claim they're trying to stake, when two have something they're trying to procure, that's when you need a mediator. So it's not just about us. It's the mediation between God and man, between heaven and earth. There are two locations involved here. The angels start with this, glory to God in the highest, then proceeded, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. There are two parties involved here staking a claim. There are two locations involved, heaven and earth, God and man. I'm trying trying to tell you, it's not just about God giving to us. There was another purpose in the incarnation besides just opening a conduit of blessing and gifts to us. It was also about glory to God in the highest. It's about what heaven wants to send to us, and it's about what heaven wants us to give back to Him. God sent earth His peace. I preached about 20 minutes about what we're receiving from Him, but the angel started with this: glory to God in the highest. Earth wants heaven's peace, but heaven wants earth to glorify God and to worship God and to exalt Him. Christ came to bring us heaven's peace, but He also came so that God would be glorified. Gifts are the reason for the season. What heaven wants to give us and what heaven wants in return from us. And it's for us to glorify God and to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ and declare His glory and His worthiness and His beauty. I want to remind you, in the heart of this season, it's not just about getting. Here, I'll throw you out a $5 word. It's about reciprocity. Glad you were impressed, Scott. I won't put you on the spot by asking you to define it. Reciprocity. There's a law of reciprocity. What goes out must come back. It's an exchange. It's giving and receiving. If God has given you the peace you desire, you ought to give Him the glory He desires. A cursory reading of the miracles in the gospel will let you glimpse a little portion of God's purpose. He came to bring peace to earth and take glory back to heaven. And there's an exchange going on here. Gifts are the reason for the season. The gifts God wants to give us and the gifts God wants from us in return. In Acts 10, Peter preached in the household of Cornelius. When God poured out His Spirit on them, the Bible says in verse 46, they began to magnify God. It wasn't a one-way deal, but as blessing came down, glory started to go back up to God. That's why it's supposed to work. John 9 tells the story of a blind man. The disciples asked Jesus, who sinned that this guy is blind? Jesus said, nobody sinned. He said, the only reason this has been done is so that I could come along and heal this guy and God will be glorified. Heaven's going to send a gift down and expects a gift up in return. In John 11, Christ declared emphatically that the death of Lazarus would result in God being glorified. It was part of the perfect plan. I'm going to bring healing. I'm going to bring resurrection. In return, glory is going to go up. This is the season of gifts, of God blessing you and you glorifying God and worshiping Him. And until that exchange happens, it's only half complete. The angel did not speak by happenstance. He had it exactly right. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. There's a direct link between God blessing us and Him receiving glory. I could spend a whole sermon taking you from verse to verse. The Bible is replete with them that emphasize over and over that God has a driving purpose to be glorified. God's highest ambition is not to bless you. His highest goal is to be glorified. I got about four of you on board with that. The rest are like, yeah. But God wants to bless me. Yeah, He wants to bless you. He also wants to be glorified. Why do you think He created the universe that He created? Why do you think He anoints you to do ministry? The Bible says so that men will see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. if anything flows through my ministry that brings deliverance or brings healing or brings hope or brings salvation, there's only one reason: so that my Father that's in heaven will be glorified. There needs to be a gift exchange going on. David understood this. That's why he wrote in Psalm 68, "He daily loadeth me with benefits." And then two verses later, he said this: "His praise shall continually be in my mouth." He said, there's an exchange going on here. He's blessing me and I'm worshiping him. He's blessing me and I'm glorifying him. He's taking care of my needs. I'm glorifying him. There's a gift exchange. Are you hearing me today? That needs to be in place. And the problem with the church in America is we're a bunch of greedy, fat little ticks trying to find a way to exploit the gospel. So we just get and get and get and get. God wants our glory flowing up to him. He wants praise going up to him. That's the gift exchange he's looking for. Gifts are the reason for the season, but it's not just about you getting. It's about what you're giving in return. God has blessed you. I didn't ask that as a question. I'll declare it as a statement. God has blessed you. God has blessed me. The question is, have we glorified him with our worship, with our heart, with our life? Every time you get a glimpse of what is to come in the prophetic books of the Bible, you get a glimpse into the desires of the heart of God. You get to see what he really wants. In Revelation, you see a prophecy of the New Jerusalem. It's remarkable in its similarities concerning the prophecies of the Messiah. Before I read it to you, let me tell you the translation of the word Jerusalem. It simply means peace. Now, Joe, here's how the gift exchange works. Glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace, goodwill toward men. There's this flow that happens. Heaven's blessings come down and worship goes back up. Revelation 2:2, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, peace, coming down from God out of heaven. Coming down, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Boy, that's incarnational right there. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And watch all the gifts he's going to bring with him. God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. God is promising to bring everything to earth that we want. Encapsulated in this passage is everything humanity is crying out for. And God is saying the New Jerusalem's coming, incarnational. It's bringing everything you want down with it. And I'm going to plant it right in a new earth. But then verse 24 says this, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory and their honor into that city and offer it as worship again. It's not complete until that cycle is happening. If God blesses you for an entire lifetime, the circle's not completed until at some point glory starts to flow out of your life back to the King that sits high above everything. Heaven sends blessing down, but there's an expectation that glory will come back to heaven. Does God want to bless you, send his peace to you, inundate you with the riches of heaven? Absolutely. But he's looking for a gift exchange. Peace on earth, absolutely, but also glory to God in the highest. Are you guys all right? In the book of Job, we're given the following understanding of how the earth is irrigated. The Bible says, as the vapors rise, so the rains descend. There's a direct correlation between, you know this, being in the fifth grade. There's a direct correlation between vapor going up, forming rain clouds, falling back to earth. There's a direct correlation between what goes up into the heavens with what is returned back to earth. If you're lacking blessing in your life, maybe it has to do with what you've been sending up. The Bible teaches us that with the same measure you give, you also receive. We tend to think of that as interhuman interaction. I wonder if that operates on the vertical axis as well. Here's a strategy. Quit petitioning and begging and harassing and bombarding heaven with what you need. and instead just start sending up the vapors of worship and adoration. Do like David and say, your praise will continually be in my mouth. And you know what the next thing you're going to say is, wow, daily you're low. I'm preaching. I haven't said this in a long time. I'm preaching a lot better than your amen in today. Your praise is continually in my mouth. Maybe you're looking to get gifts. God's looking to exchange them. Gifts are the reason for the season, and the great giver of gifts has blessed us and blessed us and blessed us and blessed us. And what have we given in exchange? How about making this the season of gifts being sent from us? Three times in the psalm, he instructed the writer to direct us to give him, and I quote, the glory due his name. The glory due his name. Due for what reason? By virtue of the fact that he's God? That he's the creator of all things? I mean, let's be honest. I like people to show me a little respect just because I'm me. And I haven't done anything special. I get a little irritated if they don't say, hey, hello, sir. And they're not courteous. I'm like, well, don't they know who I am? And at the end of the day, I'm nobody. But the Creator, who gives us life and breath and rain, and the Bible says he gives us the wine that makes glad the heart of man. He gives us richly all things to enjoy. He said, hey, guess what? There is glory due my name by virtue of the fact that I am the Creator, that I am the Creator and you're created, that I am high and you are low, that I am in heaven and you're on earth. How about this season? We just give him the glory that's due his name. Whether he blesses me or not is immaterial. Whether he supplies my needs or not has nothing to do with it. Whether he does any spectacular thing for me is really beside the point. He is God, and there is glory that is due his name by virtue of that simple fact alone. Can I preach in this house today? There's some of you that nod your way through every service every week. You ought to give God the modicum of respect that you'd give a high school math teacher by at least paying attention to what he's saying. He is God, and there is glory that is due him by virtue of the fact that he is the Creator. How about we make this the season of giving of gifts to God? Well, he's invisible. He doesn't need anything from me. Well, yeah, he made it easy on you, though. Because he said this, Matthew 25. You can give to somebody else in my name. And it's like you did it for me. I'll read it to you. Matthew 25, 34, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. See here, you get all of this. Well, what do we do to get that? I mean, that's incredible that God's going to give us. What do we do? And then he said this, here's why, for I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat, and I was thirsty. You gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison. You came to answer me. And the righteous will say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? And the king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. He said, I'll make it easy on you. I want to give you. I want to give you the entirety of my kingdom. All I ask in return is you give me the glory that's due me. Give compassion in my name. Give kindness in my name. Give mercy in my name. Give love in my name. Give forgiveness in my name. How about this? Give someone dignity in my name. When the broken and wounded come among you, and they make you awkward and uncomfortable because that's how broken and wounded people affect you, why don't you give them compassion and love in my name? And he he said, if you'll do it to the least of those, you've done it to me. And in so doing, you complete the exchange, and the entirety of the kingdom is yours. So what are you going to do this Christmas season? I started last week. I think I built a pretty good case. Gifts are the reason for the season. There is a world of gifts that God, there's gifts beyond your imagination that God wants to deposit in you. But he wants to be an exchange. You can give directly to him in your worship. You can give to him by giving to another. There needs to be an exchange that's happening. We are powerless and impotent as a church. It's because we're not completing our part of this cycle. There needs to be glory going up. There needs to be worship going up. There needs to be compassion flowing out. There needs to be kindness flowing out. There needs to be love flowing out. There needs to be service flowing out. There needs to be vapor rising up so that rains will start to fall. God wants to exchange gifts with you this year. Would you bow your heads? Lord God, I am overwhelmed by your generosity to us. And I must confess, I am shamed. Sometimes not only do I not give you the glory to your name, I don't even give you the courtesy of a thank you for your outrageous generosity to me. Father, I confess that sometimes I'm more courteous to the person I just bought a hamburger from. I'll tell them thank you when they hand me what I purchased. But then you flood my world with gifts. You litter the landscape of my life with your goodness. And I don't even pause to say thank you, much less lift up glory to your name. So Father, here today, I want to change that. I'm not asking for anything. I just want to say thank you. I want to lift up my voice, and I want to invite these people to join me, and we're going to lift up our voice and just worship you. I think sometimes, God, we wait for you to initiate the exchange. We wait for your gifts, and then we'll return glory to you. We're not doing that this year. We're lifting our hands. We're lifting our voice. We're declaring that you're glorious. We're declaring that you're beautiful. We're declaring that you're high above all things. I wish somebody would help me just send up a little vapor in this place. We're going to give you glory that is due your name. You're due so much more than what I've given you. And I haven't even begun yet. I give you glory that is due your name, God. Father, I'm not even going to stop at this part of the exchange. I'm going to find somebody, and in your name, I'm going to give them dignity. And I'm going to give them mercy. I'm going to give them kindness. Gifts really are what it's all about. The greatest gift is that you sent your Son to die as the propitiation for our sins. We're just dumbfounded by that. We're just blown away by that. We're remiss if we don't stretch our hands out of a heart of adoration You say, thank you. You're beautiful. Somebody that wants to really worship God, you can stand to your feet. You can come to this altar. You can lift your hands. Whatever you want.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at www.redemption-church.com and be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.